Investing in property makes sense. Investing in the right property takes knowledge. Welcome to the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. I'm Jared McCabe, Director of Wakelyn Property Advisory. Join me for expert insights into the fundamentals, trends and opportunities to help you create long-term wealth through smart property decisions. Welcome everyone to episode 74 of the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. Now, over the years, we've as a company spoken to many different buyers from all walks of life, some starting out on their property journey, others who perhaps are buying into double digits in terms of investment properties. But everyone has a very different perspective on the market and a very different opinion. But what we've tend to find is that most people agree that the first property that they've purchased has been the hardest one to do. So what I wanted to investigate today was, is there still the appetite for those wanting to get into the market? And I'm very fortunate to be joined by Mark McCrindle. Mark's a social researcher, best-selling author, and TEDx speaker. He's a thought leader in tracking emerging trends influencing society, and he's recognized globally as the one to coin the name of the emerging global generation, Generation Alpha. Thank you very much for joining me, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Jared. Great to be with you.
I think if you could, we could start. So we wanted to investigate Gen Z and them getting into the market today. But just for some of the listeners who may not know, can you just give a quick overview as to what age demographic Gen Z sits in terms of when they were born?
Well, we're talking about those born from 1995 to 2009, which means that they are right through their 20s, at the younger stage, still in the teen years, but certainly moving from their learning into their earning stage of life, and therefore starting to think about where they're going to live and how they're going to live.
Yeah, great. So you've had a number of recent articles, yourself and your colleagues who do some fantastic research, but one that I found really interesting is that it's actually one of Gen Z's top hopes is to own property, and that would probably surprise some of our older listeners, I would think.
Well, that's right. They have not given up on that Aussie dream. They recognise that it's worked for their parents. They've seen that clearly. They've seen that it's been the key wealth accumulation vehicle for those that went before. And they don't just want to rely on superannuation for their future. And they're in a time of more influence through social media and even reality TV shows around investment and property as well. So all of that keeps that dream alive.
Yeah, great. And what have you found within that research has been, or that they view as some of their greatest challenges? Most generations would say that they've had different challenges along the way as to what prevented them or made it difficult for them to get into the property market. What do Gen Z view as their greatest challenge?
Well, they're starting their economic life a bit later than their parents did because they're staying in education longer. 9 in 10 students nationally go through to year 12. Now, for their parents, half the class left at year 10. So that's a start. And then the majority of those who complete year 12 go off to tertiary study, with university being the number one option there. So they're just investing more time and more money in their studies, which is great in terms of investing in their career and their future. But it certainly means that they don't have the same savings and investments in their 20s that their parents did. So that's a big challenge. And of course, even though they're moving into highly paid jobs, and so income-wise, they might do okay. Sort of wealth-wise, they're a bit behind the eight ball there. And even the costs of getting into that home obviously are a lot greater, and they're consequently living at home a bit longer as well.
And that interest rate movement that we've had, which was very significant over the last 18 months, has probably impacted that. And then when you factor in if they are deciding to leave home and rent, the rental market, the way that's gone in the past 18 months as well, has made things difficult too.
Well, that's right, if they can even get a rental or find a possible home. And, their parents are quick to say, oh, look, these are low interest rates compared to what we had. and there is that. But, they are carrying a bit of debt with them. They've got a study debt. Some of them have a little bit of sort of credit debt as well, just as they've moved into a bit of a spending cycle in life. So, they're not starting at zero even as they move into their earnings years.
So from the previous generations, with the appetite now to and have it as a priority to get into the property market, is that because it's Gen Z stage of life where they're wanting to now? Did Gen X, millennials, baby boomers at the same stage of life, did they have the same objective, or was financial security or travel a higher priority for them at that sort of same age bracket?
Yeah, you're right, Jared. For the millennials, now the family years, you know, now in their 40s or moving through that, they were not as focused on property at the same age, just because, you know, they didn't feel the same pressure. There wasn't back then the same urgency to get into property. They just thought that they would follow on the pathway like their parents and end up with a house like everyone else. And so this was the time in their 20s to travel, to enjoy life. And they did that. And so they were spending money on depreciating assets rather than appreciating ones. They were spending money on lifestyle rather than property. What's happened, and the big change has been that the Gen Zs have said, you know what, you've really got to work hard to get a place. It's not a guarantee. It's, in fact, harder than ever. And so that's focused the mind a bit more. They've been a bit more conscientious in that space. And the other big thing that we've seen is a shift in terms of what they look for in property. Previously, it was buy a property that you can live in. Now we're seeing a generation say, well, I probably can't afford to buy where I want to live, but I can be that rent vester. I can buy somewhere else and rent it out, but live where I live, even maybe with my parents for longer, or maybe rent a place. And so they've decoupled owning a home from living in that home. And that's been a big shift for this generation.
It's interesting you say that. I mean, I think I mentioned to you just before we came on air that I've just had a client do exactly that. He was initially looking to purchase a home for himself, just an apartment. But after a couple of months of searching, realized that he probably wasn't going to have quite enough money to be able to live in it. So he's decided to stay at home, buy a slightly better property and rent it out, given the rental market at the moment, which is giving him the opportunity to get a better quality property, which at hopefully some stage he will be able to live in, but that's not the intention immediately. So yeah, that's really interesting. Mm. Has COVID and the pandemic influenced any of this, do you think, in terms of making the home or buying a property a priority, just given that people have seen that they did have to spend sometimes in Victoria, not by choice, a lot more time at home. Has that had an impact as well?
Yeah, it sure has. You know, since the pandemic, we've seen volatility. And I think that's what it created in the minds of young people, that you actually do need a bit of certainty in life. You need to plan out a bit of consistency, because economically things are uncertain and you never know what's going to happen in a global sense. So yeah, that's again made them a bit more financially conservative, a bit more focused on planning rather than just sort of going with the flow. We saw two other big shifts since the pandemic. One, the property prices go up, and that's really, again, placed a bit of urgency on this generation to get started in that space. We've seen the regional markets and the outer suburban markets open up, and people have recognized, you know what, buying a home, you don't just have to limit yourself to the place you grew up in, you know, maybe the inner ring suburbs or the suburban areas of a capital city. You can look more broadly than that. And that opens up a lot more opportunities for young people. And the other thing, since the pandemic, they've just seen the ongoing growth in our population. And that's just highlighted for this generation that with the demand through increase in population through migration continuing to drive prices up ahead of the supply, you can't just sit around and hope that prices will get better. You've got to be proactive and take action. So all of that has created this intentionality for this generation to get a foothold in property.
Yeah, great. So for a lot of previous generations, and a lot of us have heard, particularly in the property sector, the reference to the bank of mum and dad, but that there seems to have been a bit of a shift in that. Now, I'm sure there's still plenty of parents that are helping children to get into the market, but some of the research that you have done has shown that grandparents are starting to play a much bigger role in this as well.
Well, that's right, because the parents of Generation Z are in their 40s and 50s. You know, they're still a bit of debt themselves. They're not in the position to be able to underwrite their own children's property or maybe even go in with them to buy that property. They're still definitely in the working stage of life and in the cost stage of life. But their grandparents, the grandparents of these Gen Zs, these 20-somethings, are actually in the position where they have got that net wealth. You know, the grandparents, the baby boomers of today, they comprise about 20% of the population, but they own 50% of Australia's private wealth. And most of that has been achieved through property. So they are in a position with a little bit more of the ability to support their grandkids in property. And many of them in our recent research said that they want to help their grandkids out. They recognize how tough it is. So good opportunities there, if not from the bank of mum and dad, the bank of nan and pop.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a, I mean, the stats that you, that were in a couple of the articles that I did read were really interesting. It was a really high proportion of grandparents that either are intending to leave significant portions of their wealth to grandchildren, or certainly intending. And the other interesting part of that was, which sort of flies into what you said before about education and their, and the contributions they're making towards their grandchildren's education, whether it be at secondary school or whether it be university, tertiary as well.
Well, that's right. That's where the grandparents are helping out. You're not always indirectly giving them cash to help them save for a deposit, but maybe having the grandkids live with them, or maybe helping out their own children with paying some of those school fees, maybe just helping the youngsters with some support, some guidance, or a little bit of financial backing. And that just gives that little bit of leeway so that those young people can say, well, hey, if you're helping me on this front with the spare car that you had, that means I can put some money, instead of getting a loan a car or a lease, I can put some money into saving for a deposit. So it's that practical support that grandparents offer that really give a bit of a leg up to the grandkids of today.
How long did you, I mean, without giving exact dates and things, but when did you start to notice this trend with grandparents getting more involved?
It's really been in the last decade. You know, as we've seen those family generations of today, those in their 40s and 50s, who might have been a bit more cashed up in the past, they've carried that debt a little longer because it's taken them longer to pay down the place. So we've realized that actually it's not the bank of mum and dad, it's the next generation up who have the wealth. You know, the baby boomers, they control or own $6 trillion Australia, a pretty phenomenal amount. And if you just do the sums on their life stage, clearly over the next 2 to 3 decades, much of that will be passed on. And many of them are saying actually to their grandkids, because they probably need it more than their own children. So you know, that's a massive transition in Australia, where retirees maybe used to live more of a pensioner's lifestyle. Now the retirees are the wealthiest Australians. It's not true universally, but many have grandparents that have a lot more cash and availability to help out than ever. And they're saying, you know what, I want to help out my grandkids while I can, while I'm still active, rather than just leave it all in the estate one day.
And get to see how they use it and how they enjoy it, and they get the benefit and the enjoyment out of that as well.
Exactly right.
So for those that perhaps aren't quite in as that fortunate position where grandparents are able to help, what are some of the other ways that you're seeing that Gen Z is trying to enter the property market? Are there slightly different scenarios that they're putting out? Are they relying on parents, or perhaps even looking at purchasing with friends or family members?
Yeah, all of that. You know, they're firstly being more realistic in what they're looking for. They no longer expect to start their economic life in the manner in which they've seen their parents finish their economic life, you know, in the nice 4-bedroom house in the nice part of town. They've said, you know what, you've got to start somewhere like our parents and our grandparents did. So that opens up unit living, not just detached homes. Yeah. It opens up the outer suburban areas or regional areas, not just, you know, the inner ring suburbs. It opens up them thinking about maybe taking on a longer mortgage rather than just a 20-year one. It means that they're looking for that support for maybe parents or grandparents, even just to help them stay at home a little longer while they save up. And certainly there's a bit more of that family involvement. Sometimes as tenants in common in a mortgage, sometimes it is with siblings, occasionally even with friends. You got to sort of get the recipe right there.
Yeah.
but definitely, you know, they are looking differently. And again, as we said, looking to maybe just get a foothold in property, even if it's a place that they would never live in, it's not quite right for them and their circumstances, but hey, they're on the property ladder. So all of those factors are coming together. And also a generation that says, hey, it's on the earnings side, we need to fund this. So it might mean we pick up a second job, or we have a bit of a side hustle. You know, we get in the gig economy some way and work after hours and save a bit, because that 10 or 15,000 extra they can make all the difference around serviceability. So they're working hard and they're being a bit creative to get it done.
Yeah, and I have seen that too, that there is a real preparedness to do that extra bit, to do something extra, to give themselves an opportunity to get into that space. It's different. I mean, differs again, doesn't it, from the millennials, who probably had more of an attitude of they wanted something a bit further down the track immediately, as opposed to being able to take those steps up the property ladder.
Yeah, that's right. And really over the last decade, parents have given a pretty clear message, either through their own example or verbally, saying, you know what, kids, you do need to start saving. You know, it doesn't come easy in Australia, and you want to get what we got. You know, there's sacrifice involved. So that message has got through, and it is a generation prepared to make some of those sacrifices for the sake of, you know, thinking about their own financial future.
So if we look at the types of property, which I guess we touched on briefly there, but the types of property that they are, Gen Z does tend to seem to be a bit more flexible and a bit more open-minded as to what they'll look at. So they are prepared to look at apartments. They don't necessarily have to have a house, or it doesn't have to be in the area where their parents were. They're starting to recognise, because a lot of the parents, when they purchased, some of those what are now middle ring suburbs in the capital cities were very outer ring suburbs at the time of purchase. And that's not necessarily understood by some previous generations, but I think from what you've said, Gen Z seems to understand that and is prepared to work with it.
Exactly right. And I think that getting realistic with your expectations for your first place is important, because that's what every generation before them did. You know, they started off with what they can afford and they moved up over time. They didn't fit it out with the best furniture. You know, they borrowed stuff to just make it work. And they made the sacrifices, you know, recognizing that that maybe, you know, the overseas travel is not a reality for us at the moment because we've got a mortgage, but we can move forward and maybe, you know, one day we can step into that. And I think that smart attitude is getting through. And there's a bit of the finfluencers on TikTok and other things that are showing how they got it done. That's a bit of inspiration for this generation as well.
And it gives them opportunities. I think if they're looking into being prepared to look further out, it also means that they'll be prepared to look at ways that they can build equity, as opposed to just paying down a mortgage or relying on the market to move forward. If you're open-minded to being perhaps purchasing something that isn't brand new, but it's a little bit more dated, and then over that sort of 5-10 year period that you own the property, you can start to influence it by upgrading kitchens, bathrooms. If you are fortunate to have a house, you can put maybe create off-street parking, those sorts of things too.
Exactly right. And, you know, that's where this generation is starting to take that longer term view. You know, it's hard for young people today because everything is instant. You know, it's the instant gratification generation. And they're just a few clicks away from any piece of information or entertainment on the planet. And so to get them to think about 10, 15 year plans to pay this place down or to have that longer term investment perspective is contrary to, you know, their whole culture and upbringing. But it is important, and they're doing it, and they can do it because earnings wise, they're in a secure place. You know, there's a skill shortage, there's an employment shortage, and this generation are stepping into roles and really starting to see their incomes rise, which is fantastic. And that gives them a bit of confidence that in a secure employment environment, they can take on a little bit of debt, they can take on that mortgage with a bit of confidence that they can pay it off. So I think the economic environment, costly though it may be for homes, has the upside on the other side of a bit more security around employment and earnings.
Yeah, okay. And just finally on that property type selection, is the, again, coming back to the pandemic, is that influencing, just given that there is the flexibility to work from home with a lot of employment opportunities these days? So are they more, is that driving also the preparedness to perhaps be a little bit further out, whereas previous property purchases and previous generations may have looked to be a lot closer in and wanting that, I guess, the lifestyle that the inner city areas within most capital cities do offer?
That's exactly right, Jared. The distance with which they're prepared to travel for a commute, or even because they can do a bit more remote working or work from home or commute into a CBD less, they're certainly prepared to move further out. And what they're looking for is not only affordability that brings, but it's the livability that comes sometimes in these suburbs a bit away from the city, where they can have a bit of bush or they can have a little larger place. You know, the inner city studio doesn't have sort of the same appeal for a generation that recognizes they need to have that place to work from home. Maybe their partner needs to work from home there a bit as well. Maybe that second or spare bedroom is going to be put to a bit of use. And so, yeah, the slightly larger places, even in the apartment market, are really of interest to this generation. Gives them more flexibility of planning, keeping in mind some of them in their late 20s, they're starting to think about family. And so, you know, that just gives that extra space, whether it be a townhouse or maybe a detached home, just gives them some planning opportunities for their future.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, that's probably around where I was going to wind things up, Mark. But it sounds to me as though there's some there's a real appetite for property, which I think is a great thing. And it sounds as though there's not the perhaps rigidness that some previous generations would have. And there's some really good opportunities for Gen Z to get into the market if they look at all the different options and the different scenarios that will enable that.
Exactly. And just a reality, a confidence that they can get it done. You know, they hear nothing but negative news around how costly it is and all of that. And that's the case. But it doesn't mean it's not possible. It certainly is. And I think when you invest in a place, you know, when you own some property in a nation, you start to feel good about that nation or that city or that state. And you become a contributor. You know, you become a little bit invested in the community, and that gives you hope for the future. And so it's not just good for them and their future financially, it's actually good for our community and our nation when this next generation have property ownership as well, and they've got a stake in the future of this country, and that's good for everyone.
Absolutely it is. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Mark. If anyone would like to get further information in some of the fantastic research and articles and blogs that you and your team put forward, Mark's website is mcrindle.com.au. There's some fantastic information on there. And the podcast, The Future Report, is really, really insightful too. There's a lot of different views and avenues, and you interview a lot of really interesting people. So I'd encourage people to get on there and have a look at that. But thank you very much for joining me.
Appreciate it. Great to chat. Thanks, Jared.
No problems at all. Thanks, everyone. If you'd like any further information, you can obviously visit our website, wakelin.com.au. And as always, we wish you the best with your property decisions.